want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. I've entitled the sermon tonight, America, and 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And once you find 2 Chronicles chapter 7, let your eyes find verse 12, and then let's stand together. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting with verse number 12, I'll read out loud, and then you can follow along for a couple of verses here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting with verse 12, it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That'll be the text of tonight's sermon, and let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Meet with us. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would do a work that is lasting. I ask, God, that the young people will be quiet and be steady. Help the interruptions to be minimal. And God, may we leave here tonight encouraged and challenged about the country in which you have given us to live, the United States of America. Still, one nation under God. Bless us with thy presence tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I'm loyal to God. I'm loyal to the Bible, and I plan to stay that way. I still have a country that is in good enough shape that I am loyal to the United States of America, too. Folks, I've not given up on our country, and I don't think we should give up on our country. Earlier today, I got to looking and studying a little bit about some of the things happening in America. I looked up what our national deficit is. Oh, it's so sad. If you've ever seen the running clock, it's just constantly clicking away, and we're going deeper and deeper in debt. At 6 p.m. today, October 16, 2016, our debt was $19,703,277,942,589. Now, that has changed since then. And then I had a brainstorm. I think I could help us out of this national debt. I think that we could fix it. I think it could be fixed in less than 4 years if we would just do this. If we would penalize financially every politician for every promise they make to us and then do not keep them, we could pay off our debt in less than 4 years. What in the world has happened to honesty in our country? It's a sad, sad thing. But let me tell you this. I am saddened at the state of our country. Our choices for president are anemic. But let me tell you something, and lest you find yourself overly fearful, let me tell you something. Whoever wins the election, I think America is still the greatest country on the face of this earth. Now, folks, you'll have to realize something. We're not what we once were, but we're better than any other country. I've got news for you. I don't know who will get elected president, but whoever gets elected, it doesn't cause me to want to move to Mexico. It doesn't cause me to want to move to one of those other countries. I don't want to go to Russia. I'm not about to go to one of those countries. I still believe in America. Now, I know America is not what we want, and America is not what she used to be, but America, at its worst, is better than most other countries at their best. And so, sure, we have our concerns, and sure, we have to stop and realize God has blessed America, and we have had religious, if you will, freedom and prosperity, and we have just been blessed so much in our country. When we go backwards, our hearts are saddened by it, but we're still a great country. And you know, the campaign thing, Make America Great Again, there's a little assumption that America is no longer great. Now, I'd have to argue with that. I think there's still a greatness about our country. You say, why? Well, I think America is still great because it's still a land of opportunity. I think America is still great because through discipline and hard work, an individual can still prosper in this country. And we have freedoms and opportunity that the high percentage of human beings that live anywhere at any time have never experienced. In our poorest communities, they do better than some of the wealthier communities in some of the third world countries. America is still great, if you ask me, because I think Americans are kind. I think we still practice Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another. Hey, that's still being taught everywhere in America. You know that not every country in the world are they teaching the importance of kindness? There are countries that are growing their kids up and throwing machine guns in their hands when they're 6 years of age. And they're being taught revenge and they're bloodthirsty and they're violent. I think America is still great. I think we're still a great nation. We're a nation. We have dreams. We have inventors and artists and builders and people that go do something. We excel in our achievement and we rebound from failure and we encourage one another at every step of the way. You know, in America, you can go watch three-year-olds play baseball and hear people encouraging them to do their best. And you can go from minor league all the way to major league, and you still have in America a desire for excellence, achievement, character, drive, determination, and I think America is still great. I think America is still great, largely in part because we encourage one another to live that simple truth. Love your neighbor from Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You know, there are churches on every corner, and I wouldn't agree with every one of those churches, but there's still prayer all across this nation. And though not all of our schools are worth shooting, there are schools all over this nation. There are Christian schools. There are schools that still believe the Bible and use the Bible. I think America is still great because I think her people, for the most part, are decent people. They're good people, and they're good people because they've got their faith in the God of the Bible who teaches them to be good. Folks, you know, I don't think there's probably any country in the world that has as many, that would have had as many people gather around the Bible as we did in America today. Now, I'm not telling you that America does not have her problems. She does. America's got her issues. But I've not given up on America. I'm not going to forsake my country. I've not decided I don't want to be an American anymore. You will not find me in that crowd that wants to burn the flag. You will not find me in that crowd that wants to forsake my country because we have problems. I think America is still great because Americans are probably the most generous and giving people on the face of the earth. I think America is still great because she's reluctant to go to war, but unafraid of confronting the thug and the tyrant out there. And there's a balance that needs to be achieved there. We don't want to go fight everybody over everything, but there are some things that are just worth fighting for, and I'm glad that America still feels that way. I think America is still great because we fight according to the rules. And when we win, we reach back and try to heal our enemy that had to be conquered for the sake of truth. And I still appreciate that about America. And America's always been known for having a bit of common sense, and there's a mercy involved in what we do and how we handle ourselves, even in war. I think America's great because of our Constitution. And folks, let me tell you something. We at all better support the Constitution of the United States of America. We don't need them tampering and thinking they're going to fix it up. But I think our system of checks and balances and our system of justice based on the rule of law and someone being presumed innocent and a right to a fair trial, those things are still alive and well in America, folks. And you got to understand something. Not everywhere in the world do they do it that way. Not everywhere in the world are you going to get your day in court. Not everywhere in the world are you going to have a judge, and they're still trying to promote the right thing and truth and caution with honesty. I think America is still great because somehow we always find a way to bounce back. Boy, America will take a hit and we'll bleed and we'll hurt, but that something happens down deep inside of a true blue American citizen and they say, we will get back up. I think of the East Coast that just got hit by Hurricane Matthew. Let me tell you something. You might knock America down, but you won't knock her out. I think of when we were bombed by Osama bin Laden. Now, I'll tell you something. We got hit, we got put down, but we got back up. You look at World War I and World War II, and you look at some of the tragedies and the devastation that our country has faced, but America gets back on her feet. And I think America is still great because of that. I think America is still great because America welcomes immigrants who come here legally, pledging to become a part of the American system, and we try to help them to better themselves as we better America. And I hope you listen to the wording that I just used on that. Now, America is still great because the people, individually and voluntarily, we make a conscious decision every day to look out for others. And we're concerned about the liberty of others. And hey, to the point that if others are not allowed liberty, we're not afraid to go to battle to help them to have the freedom and the liberty that God has promised that man can have. I think America is still great because her mission, I think, is peace, and her purpose, I think, is protection. Her provision, she still wants us to prosper, and her lifeblood is in liberty in and with the God of the universe. I'm disappointed. I am. I'm a conservative. I'm an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist, and I have the highest expectation for the United States of America. I want America not just to be good, I want America to be great. I want that, but I have to tell you, all that's happened in America and a lot of disappointing things, this is still my country. That's still my flag. And I still love America. Now, I hope you're not offended with this. It wouldn't matter to me if you were. I love God more. I'm going to be loyal to the Bible. I'm going to be loyal to God. And he is going to have he's going to have my undying commitment. But thank God for America. Hey, do you know why they provided the Capitol with the rotunda? That's easy. It's a good place for the politicians who like to run around in circles and chase their tails to do it. I hate to say it, there's a touch of embarrassment over some of the behavior that goes on at this time in our country. Tonight, I won't endorse any candidate. I won't endorse any party. And our nation seems to be a little bit confused and maybe a little in an uproar in both our honor and our responsibility of electing a president. But I'll tell you the answer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Their land is the land of the United. Our land is a land called the United States of America. Now, I don't think this sermon will be long, but just stay with me for a few minutes. I want to say something to us as a congregation. It's my privilege to be a spiritual leader, a pastor. And I don't think for a moment that I have to be silent about our country. I don't think God ever intended for us to take prayer out of our schools. I don't think God intended that. Nor did he ever intend for us to take out of the pulpit teaching about the propriety and what is right for our nation. That right is not to be taken from us. So let me say this. I want our nation to have a conservative president. I want us to have a conservative president. And folks, I still believe that the position of president is an important one and a position yet to be respected. Let's not degrade the position. It's not the position that's bad. It is the person's position that's in the position that tends to be bad. It's a little bit like a gun. Guns aren't bad. People are bad. And I think your computer. I don't think a computer's bad, but I think you. It all depends on who you get on that computer and what they do with it. Surely, behavior can deteriorate and it can become wicked very, very quickly. I think our president. I hope he realizes we're still one nation under God. I believe in liberty and freedom and honesty and justice, morality. And thank God, my stance is the ultimate kind of government will be a kingdom. And there's only one reason I believe that, and that is because eventually there will be a kingdom, and Jesus will be crowned the king. And at that time, I'll believe in a kingdom. Until that time gets here, I'm glad that we have a democracy. I'm not for communism, nor am I for socialism, and I'm very disappointed at the even thought that we would consider socialism in the United States of America. I don't believe that the position of president is supposed to be a political one. I'm not all for all the different. I'll just tell you, I think the position of president is a leadership position, and what they do with it politically, they're corrupting it. I think what America needs is a person that will step up and lead our country the way that it will prosper under God. I hope we elect a president that's a Bible believer. And I would like them to be a Bible liver. And I would like them not to tell us that they are, and then we find out it was another ploy just to get the vote of the people that believe the Bible. Hey, I'd like to see a president that will back our right to have the Ten Commandments in public if we want the Ten Commandments in public. I don't want them to tell us that we have to take at Christmas time. I don't want it to become a winter wonderland. It's going to remain Christmas in my thinking, and we need somebody that loves Christmas. There's nothing wrong with Christmas. I think they need to remember there's a Pledge of Allegiance where it says one nation under God. I want a president that will stand when the national anthem is sung at a football game. I want a nation of a conservative president, and I think that's what God would have. Secondly, I know America has problems that need solved. You say, well, what exactly is the answer, Pastor? Well, according to Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation. So it's doing the right thing. And God never left the right and wrong up to us. He wrote a book. He said, my book will tell you the difference between right and wrong. It's not situation ethics. It's not my opinion or your opinion. Humanism is taking over our country. We do have a standard. That standard is the perfect, holy God of the universe and the book that he wrote. It's a sad thing. We've got our problems. That we've legalized abortion. That's wrong. The political corruption. The scandal. Oh, good gravy. I just wonder if people from other countries that would happen to watch national television at this time are not laughing at the United States of America and the silliness that goes on at a time like this. I think our public schools, they have deteriorated. You know, when you've got to have security guards and metal detectors, and now they want sex education in the public school. That ought to be cared for by mom and dad in private when that child is of an age that mom and dad want to share with them the facts of life. It shouldn't be turned over to a bunch of lost people and a lost environment. Welfare is out of hand. Somewhere, somebody. Now, I think I love helping people, and I like feeding people and helping people. I just got to tell you, somebody's got to stand up and tell our country, you need to learn to work again, and if you would work, you could succeed. And hey, my dad used to say, the harder I work, the luckier I get. And it wouldn't hurt for someone to listen to my dad, because we were taught, you don't work, you don't eat. And we could solve some of the issues in our country. The pornography's out of hand, and the crime, and you just watch the drugs and the drunkenness and the hatred and the hopelessness and the alternative lifestyle of the devil. And look, our country, it's got its problems. The answer is righteousness. I think we need a great leader. I think we need a president that will help our country to get back on track and do the right thing. I am not convinced that America is totally gone. I think America is still great. I think America has been greater, and I think America could be greater. But let me say thirdly, the answer to America's troubles is neither one of our presidential candidates. Neither one of them is the answer to America. You say, why? Well, Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, and call upon me, speaking of the Lord, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. See, America, she's in trouble. America's got trouble. Nowhere in the Bible did it say, you call upon the president in your day of trouble. And America has become used to calling Uncle Sam. We want to call the government every time we have a problem. Folks, we need to call upon the God of the universe that can actually solve these troubles. You know, it may be that one candidate may improve our problems, but I'm going to tell you something. They're not going to solve our problems. It may be that one candidate will complicate our problems. But so you know, they didn't on their own create it, nor will they clean up the mess. You say, well, who could do this? I can only think of one that could really clean up the mess, and that's the great God of gods. That is Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And if we'd get our eyes back on him, we could get this thing back on track. I want a conservative president. We need a conservative president. But one person is not the solution to our country's problems. And you say, well, Pastor, if so-and-so is elected president, we're done. Probably not. America's got quite a bit of backbone to her. And I've watched presidents come in and go out before it was their time as well. You just don't know what will happen. Don't lose track of something, folks. God's still alive. God is still alive. We've had other conservative presidents. Did you know they did not solve America's problems? I'm going to mention a name because I respect this man highly. I've always been a bit of a fan of Ronald Reagan. I think Ronald Reagan did a very, very good job as president, and I would have to list him in some of the top two or three presidents ever, if maybe one of the best presidents ever of the United States of America. And hey, wasn't it great? If you like Ronald Reagan, you'll agree with me. If not, I wouldn't argue with you about it for a moment, but I will tell you this. Thank God for Ronald Reagan. But Ronald Reagan was the president of this country, and look at what shape this country's in. He did not fix our country. The only way you're going to fix a country like this is there be a national revival and people get back to God. That's the only way you're going to fix it. We've had some not so good presidents, but you know, they didn't totally destroy us. I'm not a real big fan of Richard Nixon, nor of Jimmy Carter. I like peanuts. But let me tell you something. We had a Nixon, we had a Carter, and everybody back then, and I'll promise you, some of you are old enough, you were alive, and you looked at it and you said, what a mess, they're going to destroy us. They did not destroy us. Then we had a Ronald Reagan come along, and everybody got hope and said, look at what's happening. Let me explain. It's a roller coaster. In the end, really, this is all a bit of a spiritual battle. There's a God in heaven and a devil that hates our country, that would like to destroy our country. And it's all about the souls of men. It's all about a coming kingdom that will eventually get here. Don't lose track of this whole... Hey, don't you go getting so caught up in the news and all of that that you lose track of the fact Jesus is coming again. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And we're to do everything we can to help keep our country right with God. And that won't be done just through politics and people voted into office. You say, Pastor, who would you like to see be the President of the United States? Well, I'll tell you. I wish Andy Taylor from Mayberry, RFD, if Andy could run. And you know what? It's obvious it doesn't really matter who your vice president is, so Barney could be his vice president. And if America could function like Mayberry RFD, we'd be in better shape. I don't think that's going to happen. Then let me say, and this is point number four, the answer for America's problem is that she turn back to God. We say we're one nation under God. Well, I would like to see us be that one nation under God. I think if we pledge our allegiance to that flag, I think if we're going to pledge our allegiance to being one nation under God, then we ought to recognize that God. You look at your money. It says, in God we trust. And just so you know, when that coin and that dollar was printed, it wasn't the God of your choice. It was the Jehovah God of the Bible. God has shed his grace on thee, it says in the song America. God bless America. Stand beside her and guide her. And that's what we need. We need that kind of guidance back from God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their lands. That there's a very natural outline there. It says, if my people. What that means is, folks, you and I, we may look at all the wackos out there in the world and all their weird beliefs and all the wild, nasty, vile things they do, and we all want to say, you know what, if all those people would get straightened out, we could change America. That's not exactly what God's saying. God is saying, if my people, what God is saying is His people need a revival. His people need to get right with Him. If my people, which are called by my name. Now, let me explain. When you get saved, that doesn't make you like Jesus Christ. That just keeps you from going to hell. The word Christian, the Bible says in the book of Acts that they were called Christians first at Antioch. That is because they were behaving like Christ. Maybe it was a bit of a mocking title or label. They said, those are the Christ-like ones. And the word developed into the word Christian because they were acting like Christ. You know, there are a lot of saved people out there that are not Christian in their behavior. And folks, God said, if my people, which are called by my name, now He's saying, I want you to be saved. I want you to live right. Then He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall pray. And I think He's talking about a little bit more prayer than you just praying over your lunch, over the teeth, through the gums, watch out stomach, here it comes. I think God wants more prayer out of you than just a prayer for your meal. I say this, and I wish somebody would take it to heart. The average person, this room, would be fortunate if they prayed 5 minutes today. Let me ask you, how much did you pray today? I want my country to come back to God. Well, we may have to take a little time and turn the television off. Stop looking at your text and your emails and pray and ask God to save our country. But He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall pray, then He said, seek my face. What is that? Seek my approval. Seek my presence. Again, folks, I do not know what's happened. Christianity has almost in America just become a social club. I can't go into teaching you everything that what I'm about to say would entail. But you are to walk with God. You're to walk with God. You are to walk with God. Do you walk with God? You see, God is telling us the recipe for turning our country back to God. He said, if my people, the saved people, which are called by my name, that are living right, will pray and seek my face. Then it says, turn from their wicked ways. Now, you say, that's right, preacher. And now we're talking about all the drunks and the druggies and the prostitutes. No, it's my people. I think God is waiting for me and you to get the sin out of our lives. You say, but my sin's not as bad as that drunk. He's not talking to that drunk here. He's talking to me and you. So you say, well, what sin is it? Yours. Mine. You say, well, is it a big one? Yours. Did you know God didn't like any sin? You say, well, I don't think I have a big enough sin in my life going on right now that would merit God turning America back to Himself. I don't think that's your call. Just so you understand, all sin's big. All sin's black. All sin's bad. But He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. He talks about humbling ourselves. Now, I happen to believe a lack of prayer is probably a sign of a lack of humility. You say, why, Pastor? Why? You think you can do it yourself? You don't need God. Because if you needed God, you'd pray. Well, I'll tell you what. I can tell when somebody needs me. You say, how do you know? Well, they ask. They seek me out. They tell me they need me. They come around. Well, when people don't come around, they're sure giving the signal they don't need. There's a lack of humility there. Look. If you really need God, you'd get to God. Yeah, people don't come to church regularly. They don't need God. There are people that ought to be here tonight, and I'm not trying to, I can't preach to them, they're not here, but let me tell you something. People that don't come to church, they need God? Are they trying to show us they need God? Look, I need God. I need to be at church every chance I can be in church. I can't do it on my own, but there's a humility that God's looking for. And then he said, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their lands. America needs healing. I believe this. I believe a couple of things that you and I as Christians can do if we will follow 2 Chronicles 7:14. I think if we'll keep on winning souls to Jesus, I think that helps our country. The more people we can get saved, the more people could be His people, the more people could be called by His name, the more people could pray. And so, the thing of soul winning, we're helping our country by winning people to Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it, and again, I can't teach on it, but there's a covenant of salt. Salt is a preserver. And when people get saved, it causes God to want to preserve the country that's keeping people out of hell. Thank God for soul winning churches in our America. Now the churches that are just playing around that never get anybody saved, they need to stop and realize that's not their choice, but they would help our country if they'd start giving altar calls again and start having soul winning programs again and get their Bibles out and get some gospel tracts out and go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You hurt your country when you don't do that. You say, well, my country's not interested in it. Well, your country doesn't know what's best for them, and God does, and you do, so you ought to be telling others about Christ. I think strong churches are the answer. I don't think the answer is going to come from the White House. Now, I want a White House that is strong. I want a White House that is conservative, but the answer is not going to be in the White House. There's two other houses, and one's not the outhouse. There's two other houses. Your house, that'll help make America strong, and the church house, that'll make America strong. Godly families are the answer. Preaching is the answer. The Bible is the answer. I really believe a church like ours is the answer. I want to see America saved. I want to see America great again. There was a time in my life when pastors would call me for advice about building their church, and it could be a little bit of an ego trip where I get to help these pastors, and I thought, boy, I'm really something. I'm so far past that, and the only reason I take the time to help pastors around the country, and I talk to somebody virtually every day of my life about what to do with their church and how to help their church and how to get more people saved, because I happen to believe that investment in those churches can help our country. We've got to have good, decent, strong churches. Mrs. Owens and I will travel this week. The girls, Riversong Singers, will go with us, and we'll do a revival. You know what we want to do? We want to go somewhere and help a church to get the kind of spirit that we have here in our church. Teach them it can be done. Not to believe the devil's lie that you can't have revival in this day and age. You can still have old-fashioned standards and believe the old-fashioned way and uplift the King James Bible. You can still preach. You don't have to philosophize all the time and pat everybody on the head and rub their belly. Every once in a while, you can throw a fit in the pulpit and preach against sin and tell people there's a right and wrong, and you can still build a church like that. Listen, the only reason I still travel, I don't need to travel for my ego anymore. I've been around the world, and believe me, I have flown all I want to fly. I've stayed in every hotel room I ever want to stay in. I've eaten out all I want to eat out. I'm not enamored by that anymore, but there's only one reason I'll still do it. Only one reason why I'll keep on helping churches other than my own. Because I believe strong churches in America can make an impact on our country. I want God to keep blessing America. Folks, I think it's an honor to be in America. Again, I'll tell you, there's no country out there that entices me to want to pack up and go. America, even with her faults, I believe God is still, in His own way, blessing America. I believe that we can make a difference. I really do. You may do what you want with it, but I think we have the privilege of voting in America. You know, there are countries that don't get a vote. We get to vote. I think it's a patriotic thing to do. I have, since I was 18 years of age, I've never missed the vote. If I travel the country, I make sure that I have figured out a way to vote when it's my turn to vote. I'm going to tell you one reason why. The way our country goes, if our country doesn't get back to vote, I think there's enough conservative people in the United States of America to make a difference, but a bunch of them have just stopped voting. And if we're not careful, the powers that be will assume we don't want the vote anymore. And they'll start tampering with our Constitution and our right to vote. And then we'll want to go to war when they take that right to vote from us and tell us we're ignorant and we don't know what to do with the vote anymore. I think the vote, if nothing else, it's an expression of your freedom and it is right that you have. And so, I want to encourage you to vote. I want to encourage you to don't give up on America. Folks, we're all here, and unless somebody has something better, I think we're going to stay here. Well, then let's make this the best country we possibly can. You say, oh, Pastor, our little old church, we can't impact the country. Well, I don't know whether that's true or whether that's not true, but I will tell you this. We can impact our little piece of the country. We might not be able to make a difference, a big difference in California, but we can make a difference in our state and in our county and in our city and where you work and where I work and where you shop and where I shop. And that's all we can do. I plan to go down fighting for God and the country at this point that our God has given us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their lands. Hang in there. Folks, be careful letting the media and the news cause you to give up on the country in which God has allowed us to live. I don't know if you watch enough of it. It is just frustrating. It's disheartening. It almost makes you say, good night. What a bunch of fools. Indeed so. But don't you and I become fools because of the fools. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The invitation tonight is this. I just invite you to make sure you're right with God. I invite you to make sure that you're in your Bible and that you're praying. I invite you to do what you can to influence your part of America for the great God of the universe. Pray for America. Live right. Take the sin out of your life. Who here tonight by uplifted hand would say to God, God, you've spoken to my heart tonight in church. You've spoken to me. Would you let God see your hand? God bless you. You may put those hands down. Hey, you know something? The altar call could be used for a variety of things. I don't know. Maybe God would speak to somebody's heart tonight. Maybe you just need to leave your seat and come down here and get on your knees for a second and pray for your country. Boy, we get all involved in the conversations and throwing our opinions around about this candidate and that candidate. Maybe you need to come to the old-fashioned church altar tonight and just pray for your country. If you need the altar, you'll be welcome to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Should you come and say, Lord, bless America. Help America. God, help my country. Help me to make a difference. Help me to win someone to Jesus. Help me to help someone. Help me to have faith. And I will say again, I am very disappointed. Our country is not a shadow of what it used to be, but in its worst shape. It's better than most countries have been in their best shape. And look, if bad people begin to dominate in our country, let's not let it be said that the Twin Rivers Baptist Church turned their back on God and we're the reason why. Hey, let's contribute what we can contribute. An awful big puzzle across this nation. We're one piece of it, but let's make sure our piece is doing the right thing. Maybe you can't come to the altar, maybe because of health reasons, but maybe you need to right where you're at. Just say, Lord, help me. Help me to do my part. Your part might be being in church. Your part might be telling someone about Jesus. Your part might be prayer. Your part might be getting your heart right with God. Because that lack of righteousness in your life is withholding a blessing from God on our country. This will be the last time through the song.